It's City Desk, news and views from City Hall, Biloxi. And now the host of our program, City Desk, Mr. Vincent Creel, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi. And now our host, Mr. Creel. Good morning.
Good morning. You had a little trouble there, huh?
I felt that we're starting after Mardi Gras. We should be more posthumous as we introduce you for this broadcast.
Posthumous. We are recording this program on Thursday, March 7th at 10:34 in the morning here at Biloxi City Hall. And Cecilia Dobbs-Walton, the Public Affairs Specialist for the city, we have a special guest we're going to go to in a minute. But first off, we could not have had a better Mardi Gras.
That's correct. It was Tuesday, of course, Fat Tuesday, March the 4th. And, of course, the Gulf Coast Carnival Association had their parade. It started at 1 p.m. downtown Biloxi, had between 50 and 80,000 attendees to the parade. Everything went well. I believe we only had about 9 arrests. So, overall, I think pretty good Mardi Gras, pretty good turnout, and not too many incidences.
No, it was well done, and the weather cooperated. The attendance for the Neptune Parade on Saturday night was believed to be also between 50 and 80,000. Gulf Coast Carnival certainly has a bigger parade. They have a larger turnout. But one thing we did notice is that the crowds were just a tad bit off from last year for Gulf Coast Carnival, and we attribute that to the chilly forecast from that day. The thing that we're going to be looking forward to now is the Hibernian St. Patrick's Day Parade, which includes the 5K run in the morning, as well as grilling on the green and the parade itself. So it's a day of activities. It's going to be on Saturday, March 16th. But however, we're going to stop right there, and we're going to talk about a community event that we have coming up that I think is very special. And to talk about that is our good friend Ronnie Broussard, who is going to be directing an upcoming production at Biloxi Little Theater. And I want to know how you're going to break new ground with this new production of Driving Miss Daisy. Good morning, Ronnie.
Good morning, Vincent. It's not easy. The first thing you have to do when you're doing a play that is so well-beloved and it's got a movie and you got Jessica Tandy and Morgan Freeman, you have to try to find something new in the script. And we've done that. It's like baking a chocolate cake. You just want to add a little bit of sour cream and some crushed walnuts and forget the recipe and try to do it. You still have the same story. You still have the same outcome, but we show a different way. We're capitalizing on the humor, which makes these sad moments even sadder because of it. We have three great performers. Unlike the movie, there's only three characters in the play. And the play is very short indeed. So we have to split it up and put an intermission just so it can seem like a night of entertainment, which it is. But that's one of the ways we're doing it. Plus, we've got a set that I think is absolutely brand new. I can't say much about that, but lots of color, lots of spectacle, lots of different rooms you're going to be in, not just one set with a chair. I've seen it done that way. It's just as good, but this, we've come up with something a little bit more elaborate.
One of the special things about Biloxi Little Theater is the intimacy of that Lee Street Playhouse. Is that something that attracts you over there? I know that they always lure you in to do a play.
Yeah, it actually does. The intimacy of the place, not to mention most people that I talk to that have just seen a play at Biloxi Little Theater, or if I say I'm going to do a play or we're going there, they'll say, oh, my first play was there. It's this nice little theater. You feel at home. They treat you like family the moment you walk in. It's that kind of thing. And they've all got the Biloxi accent. You know, they're all talking like that. They're like they just left the podium. You know what I'm saying? And that's how they talk. It's got that feel about the place just the moment you walk in. It's a great feel little theater. It is.
One of the great things about your upcoming production is we're happy to say all of the roads that lead to the Biloxi Little Theater Playhouse are paved. So when you turn up off Highway 90 right there at Lee Street, which was a good place to put the Lee Street Playhouse, by the way, when you turn up right there, you just go north about 5 or 6 blocks. When you pass the CSX Railway, it'll be over on the right. And Who are your stars of your production? And give people some background information on the dates and the times, because they can buy tickets now.
Okay, yeah, they can. They can. Absolutely, they can. We open on the 15th. We're the 16th. Those two performances are 8 o'clock. The 17th is a 2 o'clock matinee. The next week we will open again on Thursday, which is the 24th, the 22nd. The 21st, the 22nd, 23rd, 8 o'clock performances. And the last Sunday will be also a 2 o'clock performance. I forget what the other question you asked me. Tell me.
Tell me. What immense talent did you pluck out of this community to be on that stage?
I got really lucky. A man I've never laid eyes on in my entire life named Will Williams, who lives all the way in Slidell, came over for auditions and took the part of Hoke. The man, and I'm little, as you can see, I'm a short guy. He's 6'4", so it really hurts me to talk to him because my neck gives in. But then I've got a little Daisy who looks like she weighs maybe 65 pounds. Her name is Kathy Newcomb. She's an excellent actress. She has captured Daisy, both the humor, the drama, the feeling. Her son is being played by Arthur Bailey Jr. Arthur is a lot taller than her. Arthur's got a good few pounds extra than she does. But I have thrown one extra little character that is not in the book in the mix. I'm not supposed to do it, but I added the crushed walnuts to the chocolate cake and the dollop of sour cream. I've got Joy Williams. She's completely silent. She has not one bit of dialogue. You will die laughing at this woman. She's wonderful. So as I said, a lot of humor, a lot of drama, a lot of sweetness, a lot of sadness. When you walk out, you just feel good.
Was the Broadway production, was it close to the book? And how did they both relate to the movie?
I did not see the Broadway production. I wish I had, of course. I think the movie, of course, movies can be so broad. Movies can take you to the places that you're told about. In a play, we have to give you background. We have to mention that she's going to go to the Piggly Wiggly. Most of us here have heard of a Piggly Wiggly or been to a Piggly Wiggly, but we don't get to see the Piggly Wiggly. In a movie, you see everything. There's no imagination. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's no imagination left to the viewer. It's right there in front of you. We have to make you believe you saw it. We have to make you believe that you heard it. We have to make you believe everything that is mentioned. It has got to be acted and spoken in such a way that when you're done, you were at the Piggly Wiggly. You saw it. You were at the phone booth next door to it. You rode the trolley. You rode the car. You did it all. When in fact, you just sat in a chair and watched.
In that intimate theater.
In that intimate theater, yeah.
How do you pull that off?
First off, you have to have good actors. You have to have good actors. They have to understand the material, and I don't mean that they need to be able to read. I mean they have to see it and feel it. You can act or you can be. And there's a big difference between acting and being. There really is. Actors, I think sometimes when we just act, we're going way over the top. But when we're being, an audience can get that. When somebody is starting to get upset on stage and you're seeing the whole transformation from ground zero to upset to worse to tears, it takes you. If the tears are already there, you're not into it. If they act like they're crying and they're not crying, you're not into it. But let that happen. That's magic. And we as an audience get very quiet. We become part of what's happening. We can't decide at that moment, is this a play? Is this a movie? I feel like I've been taken somewhere. That's what good theater can do. I believe we've got that.
Oh, man. The reason we had you here today was because there's a lot of activities that are coming up, as we mentioned, the St. Patrick's Day Parade and everything else. But we did not want this production to get lost in traffic. We wanted people to be well aware of it ahead of time. And the way you buy those tickets today, the way you reserve those seats today, is you can go online or you can call a phone number, which you probably don't know the phone number.
I really don't know them. Isn't that awful?
Cecilia has
thank God for Cecilia.
228-432-8543. Again, 228-432-8543. And it's with everything. All that information is on our website. It's listed in the March issue of B News.
Yeah, there's also a website where you can safely and securely secure your tickets. And the address is www.4 BLT.org. How long have you been in community theater here on the Gulf Coast?
I'm going to say 31 years. Mm-hmm. 31 years. First thing I ever did, I had the smallest part possible in Little Shop of Horrors at Gulfport Little Theater. I was excited. I was new. I kept my mouth shut. Very hard for me to do that. I kept my mouth shut and learned. I loved it. I have never stopped.
What got you into this entertainment, type of entertainment?
Actually, at that time, I was working at Gafers. You remember Gafers? I was working at Gafers, and I had a client, a regular client, who said, "Ronnie, you need to get into community theater." And I would always put him off and say, "I don't know, maybe one day." But one day, he came to me after me telling him how much I liked the movie Little Shop of Horrors, and he had a smile on his face. He said, "Guess what Gulfport Little Theater is doing?" I said, "What?" He said, "Little Shop." I couldn't get out of it. Little Shop of Horrors. So I went because I said I would. And I was given a part by Mr. Chester Dela Cruz.
Oh!
Yes. Yeah, that was my first director. Start wacky, start good. I thought he was great. He was a show-all to himself. I had never met anybody quite like Chester Dela Cruz.
Yeah, may he rest in peace along with our friend Bobby Steele, who just died.
Yeah, that's true. At Chester Dela Cruz's funeral, I was asked to sing, and I did. It was a great honor to sing for Chester, my very first director.
Well, we're going to have to ask what you sang.
I sang, oddly enough, it sounds like a very up song. It's Feeling Good. Mm-hmm. That's what his daughter requested. And one time I was at an event, I forget the event, but Chester requested that I sing that song. So his daughter called me and said, "Would you please sing that for my father?" So I did.
Well, Cecilia and I were talking beforehand, and what little authority we have, what little influence we have, we want to see Ronnie Broussard involved in more of our city-sponsored events. And one of the things that I'll always remember is you were asked to sing the national anthem on that milestone day whenever that new Biloxi Bay Bridge opened. And they called us asking for recommendations, MDOT did, and in my book, well, there's only one, and so... He was going to be singing the national anthem, so he goes, and he was singing a cappella. So he goes up to the podium. This is on live television, and they had it beamed to the town green. They had it beamed all across the coast. So he goes up to the podium after they said, "And now here to sing the national anthem is Mr. Ronnie Broussard." So he goes up to the podium, and this music comes out of somewhere. Somebody had some recorded music, and there he is on live TV, and when he heard that music, he said, "You better remember."
Oh, I remember it quite well. I looked at the guy with the headset. He kept looking at me like, "Sing, sing, sing," and I ran my finger over my throat. The music stopped, and I said, "I work alone."
It was perfect on live TV. And of course, the other thing that brought tears to the eyes of Macklin Holloway was when you were at one of our Katrina observances and you sang the original song, "I Want to Come Home."
Yeah, yeah.
And that was just so heart-wrenching.
She is a lovely lady. She. I remember her crying and coming up to me and asking me what I wanted to happen with the song. Of course, I said I wanted it to be the anthem for the town, but we're waiting for Biloxi to catch on to that.
I think they will. I think they will at some point.
It's a good song.
Okay, so we got two weekends coming up of the production, Driving Miss Daisy.
The 15th. We open next week, and then we're the week after. 7 days entirely. We have, like I said, two matinees, and the rest are all evening, 8 o'clock productions.
We're hoping that we have a really great turnout for this. How important is community theater to a community?
That's a good question. That really is a good question. Community theater involves, number one, you're talking about people as they're involved, they're working so hard, they're not getting in trouble. You know, there's people who are working towards something, and the best thing is no one gets paid. So everyone's doing it for the love of the thing. That's the thing. That tells you what kind of people you're working with. There are a lot of egos, but only because of getting on stage, only because they want to sing better or look better, act better, do this better. But the truth of the matter is you've got a slew of people that are doing it just for the love of theater. And when people come to see that, they're seeing that. They're seeing the true love of theater rather than people who showed up, got their paycheck, and went home. Big difference.
A very big difference. Cecilia, anything else you want to say about Driving Miss Daisy?
Well, of course, I think it's a wonderful play. It's a wonderfully written play. Mm-hmm. What my actors are doing with it, with my direction, And with the set that we have devised, I think it's new. It's brand new. And that, I think, is important. It's a loved story. You get to see the story. It unfolds in front of you, but you also get to see it in many ways. There are differences. In many ways, we've added those little differences because it's important to put your mark on something when you do it. When you sing a song, you should sing it like nobody else. When you direct something, put a little something different in it. Make it yours. And I believe we have done this.
I look forward to this. And Cecilia, what else do we have going on this weekend? And thank you, Ronnie.
Thank you.
A lot of community events going on this weekend. The Saints Shenanigans 5K Fun Run is going to be Saturday, March the 9th from 7 a.m. to noon, right out here in front of City Hall, 140 Lemieux Street. It's put on by Nativity, Blessed Virgin Mary Elementary School, and it's in honor of, or in memory of, former principal Sister Mary Jo Mike. Late registration is available online at nativitybvm.org, and late registration is available race day again, that's Saturday at 7 a.m. Also, this weekend is the Gulf Coast Barbecue and Music Festival. So Saturday and Sunday at Beauvoir. They also will have John Snyder in concert, who was actually Neptune's Grand Marshal, who was here at City Hall. And then the Biloxi Shuckers will have their tryouts for the National Anthem. It'll be at the Edgewater Mall. Again, it's Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon. And all that information, is on our website at biloxi.ms.us, and of course listed in the March issue of B News Monthly.
We're going to have to put in a good word for you to sing over there.
We've
been promising Sack at that too, but we're just giving him lip service. But we will.
May I suggest you show up for the audition dressed as the Michelin Tire Man, and I bet you'll get the job. You've been listening to City Desk, news and views from City Hall, Biloxi, with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. This is William Sackett speaking.